Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea's sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.
The all-new OTB Sports app. It's all videos, sports news, live scores, interviews, podcasts, all waiting for you. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download now.
The OTB Podcast Network. The Paddy Power Half Hour on OTB Sports. Minimal contact in stadiums. That shouldn't stop the usual suspects from going down. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
Heyo, you are welcome along to the Paddy Power Half Hour. Every Friday afternoon, bang on 1:30, we take you through all the big games of the weekend and all the crap games as well, just for your delectation and for your viewing pleasure, so you can plan your weekend properly and hopefully tip some winners for you. Broadcasting live from his YouTube lair, where he's polishing his fancy white boots in anticipation of some over-the-top tackles, because football is back. Real, actual playing football. It's Enda Call. Enda, how are your fancy white boots?
They are fantastic. I don't know if anybody has seen the tweet, but I brought them out for this show because I'll bring you behind the fourth wall. I saw you typing up that intro. So here they are here, the white and black Nike Tempos.
I did see somebody say, what brand are they? We can't tell from the understated branding on the shoe. Who makes those shoes, Enda?
If anybody from Nike is listening or watching, like I'm very, very up for selling myself out and getting loads of sponsorship from them. So if they're watching, I play Sunday League football, Saturday League football for Drumcondra AFC. We're in the Leicester Senior League right now, so you'll get plenty of people who will buy over expensive boots. They might not look good in them, but they will buy them nonetheless. So Nike, you know what to do.
Very good. The boots will look good. And which part of your anatomy do you expect to get kicked in first? Is it your ass? Is it like an ankle? Is it a knee?
No, it'll be straight into the shins, straight, like first touch. If I knock it past someone, they're just nailing me. It's the way it is, and we accept it. I know they're coming, so I can't really complain when it happens.
This week's stat man is odd compiler from Paddy Power, Jason Murphy. Jason, are you back playing ball? Have you retired? Are you specifically and exclusively a couch watcher when it comes to participating in football these days?
No, very eager to get back, whether it's 11-a-side, 5-a-side, or even a bit of gaff. I'm normally Adidas Predators, man. I did have a pair of Nike Total 90s, Paul Scholes version back in the day, and it was probably the best I ever played football. Like, all of us will never be as good as what we used to be or when we were 15, 16. But yeah, I can't wait to get back still and kick a ball and probably kick a few lads as well.
And which GA club are we? Is
Airog and Carlow.
Ah, right. Okay, they're good. They were once one of the best teams in the country. I mean, probably you were a child, but at the same time, there's proper heritage there.
Yeah, no, great days out. Five Leinster titles, and we've a lot of good young lads coming through now. We got bet in the Leinster final recently, but the lads apply themselves again and get back into it, we'll hopefully get back to those days in the 90s. If we do, it won't be the Cokes and the pack of the crisps. It'll be a bit stronger probably to celebrate, but yeah, hopefully good days ahead.
All right, the fixtures this week are, I mean, let's face it, it could have been one of the worst weekends of Premier League football in history. However, didn't UEFA fix it so that we actually have a dress rehearsal for the actual Champions League final this weekend, which saves us all, especially those of us who are making Friday afternoon football preview shows. The fixtures this weekend: Leicester against Newcastle tonight at 8 o'clock. It's Leeds versus Spurs, which could have been, you know, a relatively decent game, a big game if Spurs hadn't crapped the bed so badly. If Leeds win that, by the way, they're just 6 points behind Spurs, which would kind of say that maybe it's been a season of horrific underachievement from Spurs. But anyway, we'll get into that in a couple of minutes' time. Sheffield United against Crystal Palace, 3 o'clock on Saturday. You don't have to watch any football at 3 o'clock on Saturday. You can go and do your familial duties. Then at 5:30, I think you do want to see this. It's Manchester City against Chelsea. At 8:15, it's Liverpool still scrambling against Southampton. And then Sunday, Wolves versus Brighton at 12. Another one you can, you know, go and commune with nature or whatever it is you do. Aston Villa against Manchester United at 2:05 on Sunday. West Ham against Everton at 4:30. Arsenal against West Brom is 7:00 on Sunday evening. I mean, that's a car crash. And then Fulham against Burnley is 8:00 on Monday night. I'm right. This is actually the worst slate of games, with the exception of the fact that we have a proper issue if you are either of these two teams. What team do you pick? Do you show your hand? We'll get into that in a minute. And at last week's specials, before we get into all that, how did we get on?
See, we did quite broad ones last week, so there's still a couple of them still going. We have Brighton to be relegated, which is looking less likely after their win against Leeds last weekend. They've still got Wolves, West Ham, Man City and Arsenal to play, but
it's not going.
I mean, they still could.
It's not going to happen.
Chelsea to win the doubles, so that's Champions League and FA Cup. Again, that's still going now that Chelsea have finally made it into the Champions League final. So I think that's going to be very interesting over the next couple of weeks. And then Man United to better their points tally than the season that Mourinho finished second. So that's 82 points. They still need to win every game. And it's still running simply down to the fact that the Liverpool United game did not go ahead last weekend. So we're still in the money there, Ger.
We're absolutely not in the money. just for the process of clarification here, there's no. I think that your Man United bet now looks more less likely than it did, because that four games in a week, they're whining about it already. He's talking about changing his team around. So I think that's a loser. But Chelsea to win the double. Obviously, the odds will shorten on this. How short are the odds at this stage? Or was there a significant shortening of the odds, Jason, when it came to the victory of Chelsea during the week and now for this bet?
Yeah, so essentially, Chelsea did the double, the FA Cup and the Champions League. They're going into the final of the Champions League at 7-4. And they'll be favourites for the FA Cup at about 8-15. So we did have it up on site at 13-2 earlier in the week, prior to the second leg against Real Madrid. So it will be shortened there now and be available on site. But look, the games that are on this weekend are so-so, but there is a lot of drama going to happen around other leagues that are definitely worth tuning in for, that, like, more than happy to touch base on. We haven't got any specials lined up as such this weekend, but looking forward to doing maybe an end-of-season kind of review, the good, bad and the ugly, on how these specials have gone throughout the season. There's been some good ones and there's been some funny ones as well.
Yeah, when you say funny, you mean bad. You're being polite. Enda has had some bad, bad bets here. And he had a little run before Christmas where he was like, this is really easy. I've picked some high-priced winners. And then since then, I would say Enda, it's been, you know, basically a disaster, with occasional moments where you might have broken even some weeks.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't win them all, but... You know, when you win them, it's even sweeter when you make them yourself. Even though, just for clarity here, I haven't actually won a single bit of cash off any of these, because even the ones that I said that were going to come through, I have forgotten to put money on. So, anybody who's made money off them, they're the only person that has made money off them, not me.
Can we talk about the Champions League final, because that was the big news came through during the week. We now know that the two teams, and it's brilliant that they're actually playing this weekend, because it does give us a significant focus. What is the market telling us about what's likely to happen in the actual final itself at this stage? Because you said there Chelsea were 7-4 to win. At one stage during the week, were they bigger than 3-1?
Well, the fact that they still had to play Real Madrid and come through the semi-final tied, it would have been. Essentially, it's we've a great marker there from the FA Cup semi-final. And the match prices at the moment are pretty similar. Your Man City going off slightly odds on in the 90-minute market, going off about 4-9 to lift the cup. In terms of them matching up, since Tuchel has come into Chelsea, I think we've had about 15, 16 games in the league, and that's a really good yardstick to compare teams. And in terms of expected goal difference in the matches played in the league to date, Man City and Chelsea are always about plus 1.3 of a goal better for their league games this season. Essentially, by far and away, the top two best teams in the league since Tuchel took over. And the fact that Chelsea got the result in the FA Cup semi-final, this is not going to be a gimme by any stretch of the imagination for Man City, even though the prices suggest that they should. I'd be backing Chelsea at the 7-4 rather than Man City at the 4-9 at this stage.
7-4 is to lift the cup?
Yes. This,
right.
So yeah, if they're to do it in 90 minutes, 16-5 to do it in 90 minutes.
I think that's an outrageous price for this Chelsea team. 16-5, yeah, so bigger than 3-1 to win this.
We kept the outright up in place, so we were trading it throughout. But once, you know, Mason Mount got the second goal and was known, that's the kind of prices we went to. And the most money we've seen has been on Chelsea at 7-4. We're being very generous. It's a two-way market, like, so offering those odds. there's very little over under margin in either of those prices. And yeah, the 7-4, like you allude to, Jared, definitely catches the eye.
Okay, I think, look, clearly the performance over the course of the season, Manchester City are a better team, but that's not what is going to be decided on the night. What's going to be decided on the night is who shows up in 3 weeks' time with their players in form, ready to go, less cowed by the weight of history and expectation. And it's not a 50-50 game. You would make Manchester City favourites, but not massive favourites the way they actually are at the moment according to those prices.
Just one key thing on that. I know I said the FA Cup semi-final as a marker, but Man City, if you look at the lineups, if you say Fernandinho's in their best 11 now or not, but they were missing about 4 or 5 from their best 11 in that semi-final, whereas Chelsea, arguably 2, as a Liga and the goal is going to come out, Mendy will come in and Ziyech will probably be replaced by Pulisic or Havertz. So City will be stronger than what they were for that FA Cup semi-final. But like we've said, yeah, the 7-4 definitely looks like the value of the two prices.
Okay. Enda, if you are picking a team for this weekend and you're Pep Guardiola, do you pick the team that you expect to play in the Champions League final and give them a run out and say, go out and crush this side and get the psychological advantage? Or do you give all that crowd who played during the week as much of a rest as possible this weekend and go, this match doesn't matter, this match is irrelevant, it matters nothing at all with regard to what's going to happen in 3 weeks' time?
It does matter to an extent, because again, because that Liverpool United game didn't go ahead, Man City still haven't been confirmed as champions. So that's what happens this weekend if Man City win and United don't. So it is an important game in that aspect. But also, if you compare Man City's side in the week, in the Champions League during the week, there's still loads of players that can come into that side that do the same job to a very, very high level and could still go out and crush this Chelsea side if they wanted. For example, João Cancelo can come in as the fullback option. Rodri can come in as the centre defensive midfielder. You can play Raheem Sterling. You can put Sergio Aguero into the side. And you still have a Premier League winning side in that. And I do think that Chelsea's weaker side is much weaker than Man City's weaker side. So I think if both managers go for the slightly weaker side, I don't think they're going to put out any, like, you know, reserve players in this game. But if both sides tend to play it a little bit safe, keep their main players on the bench, I think Man City have the stronger side for this weekend's games. But the mental aspect of this is very interesting because, again, Pep Guardiola hasn't been in a Champions League final since 2011, 2012. Was it 2011? It would have been with Barcelona. Chelsea have been, but none of these players really have been. So it's an interesting one. I think if you're going Champions League final, Man City definitely, for me, are favourites for the game, but because they can expose the weaknesses in that Chelsea side. But for this weekend's game, I think it's going to be a very tight, cagey,
but what
dull,
weaknesses?
Boring affair.
What weaknesses?
Well, the biggest weakness I can see in that Chelsea side for definite is at left back, because Marcus Alonso has been coming in and out of the team. Ben Chilwell is there now, but he gets forward a lot down that left wing with Mason Mount. There's not much cover there. I know N'Golo Kante does try to provide cover when he can, but that's more of a forward press and an opposition half press now. He's no longer playing a centre defensive role. He's playing a more advanced role. He is the first press for Chelsea these days. So if you get past him, Jorginho is the man that's left there. He's going to get booked early because he can't tackle, and he has no pace as well. So that's where I see Man City hurting Chelsea. And with the players that they have down that right wing, be it Bernardo Silva, be it Riyad Mahrez, be it Kyle Walker getting forward, I just think that's where the game is going to be won.
Okay. If I'm Guardiola, I think I pick my best team for this weekend. I pick the team that played the other night, assuming they're all fit and there's no markers that suggest they're about to get injured if they play 70 minutes or whatever. I pick that team and I give them the opportunity and I say, look, we didn't pick this team in the league semi-final. You're going to go out and at the end of this, you're going to win a trophy today, and that's practice for 3 weeks' time. That's what I would do. I don't know, Jason, what you would do in this scenario. And I don't know what you'd do. I haven't talked about Tuchel yet, who obviously has a very big part to play in all this, because that guy might just be one of those weird, evil geniuses who, it turns out, can just look at a scenario and go, I see things that no one else sees.
He certainly has that look about him, Murray. In terms of when this... Chelsea came through the other night and knew that they were playing Man City this weekend. I had a little bit of concern that it could be a dead rubber, a bit of a phony war, but it's not, for the reasons that City can win the league on Saturday. So they want to put on a good showing and get that done. Whereas Chelsea, there's still a potential that Chelsea don't win anything this season. They don't finish in the top four. So like, Chelsea really need a result on Saturday as well. But as Ende alluded to, and I think this is what Pep will do, he will rotate, even if the markers are fine. I think he'll keep them fresh. He'll keep people happy, the squad happy, Sterling, Aguero, give them time. In case he does rely on them, when they do get to the final, he needs them to be sharp. So I think Pep does rotate it, but Man City's B team is stronger than Chelsea's, and therefore City are probably going to be the better bet this weekend in particular.
Well, I'm not convinced of the logic about whose need is greater. I think the point you made about Chelsea not being guaranteed, it looks more than likely they will finish in the top four, but you just want to guarantee that to give yourselves a 10-day run in to the actual final itself, secure in the knowledge that you've finished in the top four, and I think that will be possible. So I think that young team will benefit too from playing more games. The more games they get together, the more dynamic they look. Those partnerships are becoming more and more difficult for opposition teams to bed down. And plus, some of them actually just need to get more confidence, because the amount of chances that they created against Real Madrid and missed, like, that's not a side who is fully formed yet. If Chelsea were to go out and perform the way they did against Real Madrid, how much of a confidence boost would that be for them for the Champions League final? So what do you do if you're Tuchel here? Are you also rotating players in and out, or are you sticking with the side essentially that played midweek?
I think Tuchel's arm is a bit more twisted given the turnaround in game time. And don't get me wrong, I think City go with a slightly B-side version, but like, some of the greatest hits Oasis of Porto have been B-sides, and this Man City B-side would be incredible still. But I think Tuchel has to rotate it, so he has less options, I think, just given the turnaround time. If Tuchel could put out his best 11, and as you use a great thing, as if there was no markers to indicate that they shouldn't play, then Tuchel does do that, because absolutely they need to tie up top four. Whereas, you know, the price for them to do that versus City's price to win the league between now and the end of the season, absolutely the result matters more than anyone to Chelsea this Saturday.
Yeah, okay.
And I also don't think that Man City are going to let Chelsea play the way Real Madrid played against them. Like, Real Madrid were playing almost a three at the back with two full. It was. Do you know what it was like? It was like Neil Lennon this year. They were playing. He was playing three at the back with two fullbacks pushing forward, and in a midfield with.
So Neil Lennon was the Zidane of the season, is what you're saying? That's the comparison I've just heard there, Ende. Sorry, you.
But then, he was playing three. He was playing three defenders, two fullbacks pushing forward, and three midfielders with a combined age of about 150.
Oh, and so it's so easy to wind
like
up.
Anybody's going to tell you that a midfield as dynamic as Chelsea's was going to play right through, and that's exactly what they did. They're not going to be able to do that against Man City.
They obviously aren't.
They're just not.
Okay, 100% they're not. But if they create the amount of chances that they created, and it wasn't all just from playing against the Outlads, then it will be an amazing thing for Chelsea to feel in terms of confidence. So I think that there's a lot riding on it. Maybe I'm completely nonsensical here and it ends up being a very sterile 0-0 with both sides absolutely terrified of showing their hands and giving something specific. It's not quite the same in football, because the teams play so many games that there can't really be any massive tactical surprises or masterstrokes you would expect, given the amount of research that Tuchel will have done on the Guardiola teams over the years, and given the amount of research now that Guardiola has available to him, like, for every single match and every single action that any of these players have ever played in with Wyscout over the last number of years. So I don't know, I think it should be a good game this weekend. The prices at the moment, with you guys, Man City 11-10, the draw 12-5, and Chelsea 3-1 for this game this weekend.
City 10-11, slightly odds on, but not too different from what they have for the Champions League final. It will move once we see team news, but it's not going to be too far off from those prices between now and half five tomorrow.
Sorry, I missed that last bit there.
As in, yeah, it's very similar prices to what we have for the Champions League final. The prices will move depending on team news when it's announced, but it won't be too far off that regardless come half five tomorrow.
Okay, and you would expect, given everything we know at this stage, barring Kevin De Bruyne being out or something similar, maybe the keeper being out, that would be the only things that would move the price for the Champions League final at this stage.
Yeah, it's not going to go. Usually, given the data we have and we price these things up, that 4-9 on Man City, it might be a tick either side, and the 7-4 on Chelsea, a tick either side. We wouldn't be too far wrong. We reckon on that if both teams get to the final in their full strength.
Okay. All right. Let's cycle through the rest of the games this weekend. That one is obviously, as we've said, kicks off at 5:30 on Saturday evening. We're going to horse through these ones. And I'm going to actually, just before I do, I better tell you about near miss. It's the segment where obviously all you budding Timo Werners get in touch to explain how close you were to being a winner. The slot that gives you a chance to win, even though you lost, but only if you nearly missed. So far this year, we've given away to different punters the full amount that they would have won had their accumulators paid off. So one week that was 1,400 quid. Another week it was 2,500 grand. And then one week we went completely crazy and gave away 11 grand to some dude who'd lost his 25-fold accumulator on one leg. So if that applies to you for whatever amount it is, get in touch and our very own Dodgy Goals Commission will sit in judgment and you might get your stake back, or we might pay out. To be considered, take a screen grab of your losing bet. Make sure you include your bet slip ID so we can verify that it's real and where your account is with Paddy Power, of course. Send them in to us. Here's how. Use the hashtag PPNearMiss on Twitter. Send us a DM on Instagram. Send your screen grab to us on WhatsApp 0879 180 180, and we will do the rest every Friday. At the end of the show, we'll announce our winners, and you can see all the T's and C's on otbsports.com. So stay tuned to OTB Social for more details and reminders. Now, we also ask you on Instagram every Thursday what you think is going to happen in the matches. We're going to start with Leicester against Newcastle tonight at 8 o'clock. It is Leicester 91% for B-Raj, 9% for Brucey. So I don't think Leicester are 9-1 on to win this game, but I could be wrong.
No, on that poll, that must be the highest result we've had on a poll that I can recall anyways. We've Leicester at 4-11, the draw 7-2, and Newcastle 7-1. And we'll caution punters on this. We know about the early kickoff, Kilinakis on a Saturday, but Friday night could be the new one. So in terms of that 4-11 on Leicester, they actually opened at 1-2 a couple of weeks ago. So the markets are saying between now and 2 weeks ago, we reckon Leicester have a 7% higher chance of winning this game. And that kind of goes the direction of that poll. But if you look at the last five games, Newcastle actually have more points than Leicester in those five games. I know they were awful against Arsenal last week, but Newcastle still need a couple of points to ensure that they stay up. So I think the value has gone on Leicester. If you want to back it at the 4-11, by all means do. They should win, but I'd extreme caution on putting them in any accas for this weekend.
Leeds against Tottenham, 12:30 on Saturday.
Leeds 12-5, the draw 11-4. And Tottenham even money. And essentially, Tottenham went off 5-6 in the home fixture and won 3-0. But Leeds had a makeshift backline, two lads playing centre-back that don't normally play centre-back. They've sorted out their defensive injuries and issues since then. So if you were getting Spurs at 5-6 back then and you're only getting even money on them now, again, I don't think they're the bet. And I'd look to side with Leeds in the positive market side, or Leeds in the draw and the double chance.
Okay. I kind of agree with you. Leeds did lose to Brighton, so they've been very hot and cold, but I think this is just an excuse for us all to imagine how amazing life would be if Marcelo Bielsa was the Spurs boss for a couple of years instead of Jose Mourinho. Where would Spurs be now? How exciting a team would they be, etc, etc? Anything, Enda?
I don't think Marcelo Bielsa would suit Tottenham at all. I think he would be very frustrated very fast by Daniel Levy's approach to ownership and the input that he likes to have. So he has left clubs before and he would leave Tottenham very quickly. So I think he's happy out at Leeds.
Right. Killing the dreams as ever. And thanks for that. Sheffield United against Crystal Palace next, 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. I mean, who cares really? Sheffield United against Crystal Palace. Our Instagram poll, 25% say Sheffield United, 75% say Crystal Palace. Well done to everybody who had an opinion on this, because frankly, you probably shouldn't at this point. But what are the odds?
Sheffield United 19-10, the draw 11-5, and Crystal Palace 6-4. What I will say, at 3:15 on Saturday in La Liga, we have a title race, massive game going on. Barcelona playing Atletico Madrid. Atletico Madrid in the driving seat, 76 points. Barcelona and Real Madrid 74 points each. If Atletico Madrid win the game and win their remaining games to win the league, it's in their hands. If Barcelona beat Atletico Madrid, they do themselves a massive favour, but also Real Madrid a favour as well, because Real Madrid, it's then in their hands. So Barcelona need to win and hope Real Madrid drop points between now and the end of the season. Whereas Atletico Madrid, if they just win all their games to win the league, it's going to be a fantastic run-in between now and the end of the season to win the title. 6-4 Barcelona, 6-4 Atletico Madrid, and Real Madrid at 5-2 after this weekend. Ooh. I think that 5-2 will be shorter, and that's probably where there's a bit of value in the Spanish outrights.
That 5-2 sounds a little bit interesting considering what might happen, because if it's a draw, Real Madrid actually have the head-to-heads, I think. Is that right?
So if Atletico Madrid win, they're in the driving seat. If there's another result, so a Barcelona win or it's a draw in this game specifically, then it's handed over to Real Madrid. Yeah. If they win all their games, the head-to-head, they'll finish ahead of Barcelona.
Yeah, now obviously Real Madrid were absolutely pants during the week, so you know you're it'll be a roller coaster irrespective of what happens, but that is what they call a proper title race, and 0-1 in the Premier League as well. Sheffield United against Crystal Palace, 3 o'clock on Saturday. Don't watch that. Watch the La Liga game instead. Liverpool against Southampton at 8:15 on Saturday evening. Liverpool rested, obviously, from the fact that they didn't have to play last weekend. 81% think Liverpool are going to win this. 19% think Southampton, who no doubt are populated with half of Liverpool's future team. Enda, what's going to happen?
I think Liverpool are going to win this. They're going for the top four, and Southampton have very, very, very little to play for at the minute. So I think, again, this is one of those games that, you know, one team has something to play for, the other one doesn't. Go for the one that does.
Yeah, except the one that does is Liverpool, who've been flaky as since Christmas, essentially. I presume Liverpool are almost unbackable favourites in this, are they?
I'd say unbackable at 1-4, the draw 9-2, and Southampton 9-1. Just given Liverpool's record at home, no crowd at Anfield. And obviously, the big talking factor left in the Premier League is top four. If you look at the last five seasons, the team that makes fourth place averages 71 points. So even if Liverpool win all their games, they're still going to need certain results elsewhere to go their favour. In terms of a bet for this game, Danny Ings is out, so have a look at James Ward-Prowse. 9-2 to score any time. He'll be on penalties with no Ings around, but also your shots on target. He's 7-4 to have one or more shots on target. If you look at he's played 33 games this season. He's had 16 shots on target, just with him taking direct free kicks and how good he is with them as well. At 7-4, I like it. It's a good price for him to have a shot on target against Liverpool.
Okay, there's a good chance Liverpool won't win this game given their recent run of form, but maybe they can make some excitement for the rest of the Premier League season and start winning some games to give themselves a squeak at least. But it would be a big, big upset at this stage if they did it. Wolves against Brighton is 12 o'clock on Sunday. Wolves obviously drew 1-1 with West Brom last weekend. Brighton, I think, are safe at this point, and 36% if you think Brighton will be able to get a result against Wolves. Enda, your boys Brighton, they're back. They're back, baby.
They are back, and they're probably safe now. They're probably safe now, and that's unfortunate. But sure, look, this game, if you want to sleep in on the Sunday, it's at 12 o'clock, just take a sleep in, because two of the most boring teams in the Premier League to watch.
12 o'clock sleep in. Jesus.
I don't have kids, you know. If you don't have kids,
that is whatever time, you know. 8 o'clock to sleep in on a Sunday, and 8 o'clock. These bags under the eyes, they don't come cheap, buddy. Right, Wolves against Brighton, what are the odds?
With Wolves 23-10, the draw 9-4, and Brighton 6-5. And I spoke about Chelsea and Man City since Tuchel took over, and their XG differential goal difference is phenomenal. Brighton in the same period are the third best team in the league, but obviously still having issues in putting the ball in the back of the net. But,
actual goals.
Actual goals. Chelsea actually as well have let Tuchel down. Like, if Chelsea scored a few more goals on those draws, wins.
You can point to Timo Werner for that. He's like a one-man XG wrecking ball.
Yeah. Big fan of Timo Werner, though. He's going to have a great career regardless of what happens in the next couple of weeks or months. But in terms of a bet for this game, if you are having to lie in and you don't get up till 1 o'clock, most goals in the second half there at 6-5 is a great bet. Wolves don't score in the first half of games, really. And actually, Brighton against Leeds, that was their 12th clean sheet this season. There's only four other teams in the league that have better record than them. So Brighton defensively are excellent. Right. Are excellent. It's just the other end to have to sort out.
Well, look,
but second half, most goals 6-5.
If any of the signings they made for forward players were to pay off, and presumably they'll be able to invest again this summer, and there's probably value around Europe given the pandemic, they might be able to kick on next season. Aston Villa against Manchester United is our live game and Off the Ball on News Talk on Sunday afternoon. Nathan and Brian Kerr, it's our first one. Nathan and Brian Kerr on duty for that one. 27% just think Villa are going to beat United. United at 73%. Obviously, United, I don't know. And I think that Manchester United are essentially, they've got one big game left this season. They're definitely going to qualify for the Champions League through the league. There's a good chance that they're going to win the Europa League final. I fancy Villa. I know Grealish isn't playing, but I think Villa are going to get something from this game, especially after the performance against Everton.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, Villa at 10-3, the draw 11-4, and United at 3-4. And looking at those, I'd be looking to side with Villa or the draw. We know Grealish is going to be out and missing for the game, but he's missed 11 games. And if you look at the first six games he missed, Villa only scored 3 goals. But if you look at the last 5 games, they've scored 9 goals. So with Ollie Watkins up top and United, no matter what 11 starts, if their mind isn't on the job, you've seen what happened against Roma in the second half. United might just let their standard, their levels drop a bit, and that creates a bit of value and opportunity to side with Aston Villa. Maybe Villa score a couple of goals is worth a look, or just like I say, Villa to avoid defeat, or even Villa at 10-3. I won't be backing United at 3-4. Especially not until we see what the team news is anyways.
No, on that weekend as well, I don't think it's going to happen. So, Enda, you're a United fan?
Yeah, I'd go Aston Villa draw no bet, because I think United's away record alone will give you precedent for why you should not back against United in an away game. So even though they do have the Europa League ahead of them, I think Aston Villa might get a couple of goals, they might go ahead, but I don't think they'll actually win the game. So I think Aston Villa to win, draw, no bet.
Well, that is the traditional Aston Villa performance against Manchester United going back decades at this point. Sometimes as big a lead as 2-0, and they managed to somehow lose 3-2. West Ham against Everton, 4:30 on Sunday afternoon. This should actually be a really good game. Stephen Doyle and Vinnie Perth on commentary duty for you. West Ham obviously still got plenty to play for. Everton lost at home to Villa last weekend. West Ham beat Burnley. 71% think the Hammers are going to win. It's the David Moyes derby. 29% think Carlo Ancelotti's going to get it done. Carlo Ancelotti has been bequeathed the freedom of Liverpool, or there was some big hoo-ha that we were getting loads of emails about from a press office saying, oh look, he's getting this kind of lecture series about leadership, he's such a genius. And it's like, look, I mean, okay, he's done an okay job with Everton, but they haven't quite followed through. It's not like he's David Moyes at West Ham good, is he?
Not in this season anyways. If you look at West Ham when Moyes took over, 17th in the table. They only finished 16th last season. Like, he kept them up in the second half of the season, obviously. To finish with 38 points, which is just about the bare minimum that normally keeps you up. But if they win all their games left in the season, like, they'll get to 70 points. So he's doubled their points tally in half the game, like, this season. It's been a phenomenal turnaround. They're 4-1 to make top four. It's not the shortest price they've been. Like, they lost the game against Chelsea, and prior to that, the game against Newcastle, where there was as short as 15-8 to make top four. But the 4-1 to make top four, like, we've been kind of caught with our Paddy Power pants down, because in recent weeks, we have been gone big prices on West Ham to get top four, purely because we think Antonio and Declan Rice, particular, they would be massive losses. But Antonio, we weren't expecting him back last Monday night, but we've seen the difference he made, scored the two goals, possibly could have had a hat-trick. So with Antonio fit, there's no reason why they can't go winning these four games. They've actually a very favourable run-in, and the last game is at home to Southampton. But there is an argument, like, the fans will be let back for that game by all accounts, but maybe it's been a benefit for West Ham not having fans at home in the London Stadium this year. But essentially for this game, West Ham, I think, are the best bet there for to win it in 90 minutes.
All right, anything on this, Enda?
I'd say just agree. I think Everton are favourites for this game going in. I know they lost last weekend, but we said that going into that game, Everton are much better away from home than they are at home. West Ham with their injuries, and I think I just in general, I think Everton probably are suited well to playing this West Ham team. So again, sort of like the Aston Villa game, it might be a good bet. Everton draw, no bet.
Okay, Arsenal against West Brom, 7:00 is the game on Sunday evening. Arsenal obviously strong against Newcastle last weekend, managed to keep a clean sheet midweek in the Europa League, which was, you know, half the battle, but obviously not important at all. Mikel Arteta, 56% think Arsenal are going to win this game. Big Sam, 44%. I think Big Sam might do them. This might be one of his last famous victories as a Premier League manager, because surely nobody is going to go to the Big Sam well again after this, now that finally his record of never being relegated is broken. The aura has disappeared. I'd say it's hard to price this one up, Jason.
Yeah, at the moment we're quite cautious with Arsenal at 4-9, the draw 10-3, and West Brom 6-1. And the value there is obviously West Brom or the draw double chance about 13-8. West Brom, they've scored 11 goals in their last five games and only one defeat in six, I think. So Arsenal coming off the back of a very disappointing result. Not a surprising result. Like, Villarreal are a really good team, there's no doubt about it, and that's not a gimme for United in the Europa League final. But just with Arsenal having that disappointment, West Brom, look, I think their chances are gone, but essentially will be confirmed after this game probably. So look, side with West Brom, don't be touching Arsenal at a short odds on price for this game.
No, I'm full agreement there. Unless you've got something different, then we'll move on.
No, Arsenal are safe in mid-table, Jared. Not going to get relegated at this stage, so I think I think this is a West Brom victory.
Fulham versus Burnley at 8 o'clock on Monday night. I really hope that Fulham stick with Scotty Parker. 45% of you think he's going to win this game. 55% think Sean Dyche's Burnley are going to win the game. Fulham obviously need to win this, but I think it's too late. I think that I'd like to see Scott Parker be given the opportunity to bounce down and bounce back up again, because I feel like he's shown enough that he deserves that opportunity. Now, maybe there's a young German manager out there who's going to come in and revolutionise Fulham next season, and all of a sudden they're the new Leeds or whatever. I'm not the billionaire owner cans, and it'll be interesting to see what they do. They've not run their American football franchise very well for any of the period of time in which they've owned it. However, they've just had a massive turnaround where they've got this hotshot quarterback in the draft and a new coach, so maybe things are about to turn around for the cans, and maybe they'll get a new coach in to Fulham as well, because it should be about to pay some dividends. Again, I suspect this is quite difficult to price up, because Burnley have been really at it and then not good, and then really at it and then so how do you price it up, Jason?
Yeah, Fulham 23-20, the draw 23-10, and Burnley 23-10. Burnley just won win the last five. That 4-0 against Wolves is a bit of an outlier, and it might skew people's views looking at this game. I think that Fulham price at 23-20 is a fair price. They've only 1 point in their last six games, but two really bad injury time goals against Arsenal cost them a win, against Wolves cost them a point. And that's 3 points dropped from really late goals in games. And if those 3 points were on the table, things look a little bit better for Fulham. They're not down yet. If they can get within 3 points of Newcastle going into the last game of the season, to play Newcastle the last game, and the way the goal difference is now, the run of results to get to that, means that they'll have a better goal difference than Newcastle. So if they're within 3 points of Newcastle on the last day, they'll have that fighting chance. And I think Scotty Tuohy and Fulham, further performances once they found their feet in the Premier League, deserve at least a shot against Newcastle on the last day of the season. But they need to win this game to get to that.
We could do with that drama. All right. Okay, that is the end of the fixtures. And it's nearly the end of the show, but we've got one more thing to do. So Kevin Power is on the line for us. Kevin, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Afternoon, Ger. Hey, lads, how are you?
You've given us a nice picture of yourself playing golf there. Where are you playing golf in the picture you sent us?
That is actually up on the north coast. I was at the Open there a couple of years ago, the Shane Lowry one, and brought the clubs with me and managed to get a couple of nine holes in after watching the golf every day.
On Royal Port Rush, you went after.
I followed Shane around afterwards, yeah.
Well, I like a man who chances his arm like that, Kevin. And you've chanced your arm by getting in touch with us here. First off, this is the first time that we've seen this. You actually have an accumulator. You've got a group of you who are doing it. Is that correct? A syndicate. You've got an accumulator syndicate.
Yeah, that's right, sir. Just back in the depths of this lockdown there, I think it was maybe the end of February, one of the lads kind of had an idea of getting a few of us to throw a fiver in each week, and we'd lump it onto an ACCA. So seven of us kind of, since then, every week have been throwing in a fiver, and everyone picks a bet, and like with the aim of all seven bets coming off and us getting a win. And obviously this week was like far and away the closest we've come to kind of getting a big win. So to be let down by Spurs at home, well, to an already relegated
hang on, before you get into that, I just want to, you can answer this diplomatically or you don't have to be diplomatic at all. Do you have an end of call in your midst who is picking completely outrageous 13, 15 to 1 shots every week, which has generally resulted in you not having any near misses so far?
I can neither confirm nor deny you, Chair.
Name names if you want to, Kevin. They're not here to defend themselves, so feel free. Okay, so the DM that we got was esteemed members of the Dodgy Goals Commission. I mean, I like you buttering them up, but you're factually incorrect. There's no esteem to our... Anyway, I'm writing to you to inform of an incredibly near miss in my ACCA Syndicate sixfold selection this week. We were due to win €1,400. The excitement was building all weekend as we watched each line of the accumulator turn green, including an unbelievable Chelsea 2-0 victory, which one of the lads had correctly called a 5-1. That's a good bet and a brilliant win. But then, so it comes down to Sunday evening. What was your bet?
So it came down to Sheffield United, Spurs at home to Sheffield United, and the last leg we needed to come through was Harry Kane to score any time against Sheffield United. And obviously, like the best striker in the league against the worst team that were already relegated, we were fairly sure. There's obviously no such thing as a sure thing in football, but it was as close as we could have expected or predicted to a sure thing. So we kind of, when we came down to the last leg, we kind of we organised, you know, like a watch along. All of us kind of watched along the game, and like we kind of watched aghast as Gareth Bale scored, put goal after goal past Ramsdale in the net, and Kane didn't manage to get involved in any of them. It was quite hard to take, to be honest.
I'm sure, Jason. I don't know if you have the figure to the top of your head, but you probably could guess what kind of price would Harry Kane have been to score against Sheffield United last weekend.
So 4-7. So you fancy it to happen, and our stats say he had 6 shots, none on target. And like when I seen this come in, I was wondering, wanted to ask Kevin that, like, did they arrange to watch it together, or sometimes you can not see the game and you'd see 4-0, then when you check the phone and you think surely Kane's got one of them,
or
and
two.
You open it up and he hasn't, or two even.
Yeah.
But essentially, this kind of, I've been in these ACCA groups before, and they're just a great bit of crack. It's a great way to have a bit of fun with the lads over the weekend. The eyes do roll when I see like a 5-1 being tipped up, or whoever tipped that up, a pat on the back for the Chelsea 2-0. It was a great shout. There was a few people playing a 2-0 for my liking there, a 1-4 on you know, Katie to do the job. Although that was a great fight, it was, you know, she did the business. But yeah, I say it was just a great crack with the lads there. I don't know who put up the last leg, but I said there was a fair bit of slagging watching the game.
Yeah, the guy who put up the last leg took a bit of flack, all right? Like, he's a bit hit and miss with ACCAs himself. So we kind of gave him a good bit of grief during the week, and then obviously turned to the dodgy goals commission to try and give him a dig out.
Right.
You know?
So, look, Jason, was it a 30 quid stake? Is this going to break the bank if we give them the 30 quid stake back?
There was one leg, the United-Liverpool game, which was voided. So
I'm
sure the lads
have
planned on watching that. But there were 6 legs. They put the 35 quid down on it, and the 6 legs, it came to just about 40-1. So as Kevin has called out there, it's a little over 1,400 if we were to pay this out.
And what does the Dodgy Goals Commission have to say?
Ah, come on, sure, Harry Kane, he has to score. 6 shots, 4-0. Yeah, absolutely, we'll pay it out.
Woohoo! 1,400 quid!
Thanks a million, lads.
You sweet talked your way into that one, Kevin.
Jeez, that's unbelievable. Thanks a million, sir.
No
that's
worries.
Brilliant.
No worries.
That is brilliant.
Congratulations. That is how the Paddy Power near miss is supposed to work. If a 6-fold accumulator, one leg lets you down, and in this case, it's Harry Kane. I didn't see. I obviously did not watch the game. I didn't have a bet on it, so I was not watching the game. Was that near miss after 90 seconds? He had a good chance, did he?
Oh my God, yeah, like someone from the left wing, I'm not sure was it Reguilon, but they looped in a ball over the defence, like right onto his right foot, and he just missed it. Like it was very hard to watch, because that would have put the best to bed straight away. We could have relaxed, you know.
Yeah, and you could have spent 1,400 quid. Well, now you're going to be able to split it, and congratulations. Thanks a million for being a good sport, Kevin, and coming on as well, and keep the golf up. Cheers.
Thanks a million, Jared. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
That's exactly how this is supposed to work, Jason, isn't it?
That's it, exactly. That's what we want. Like, it's a football legs that I'm known. He's had a couple of selections in the ACCA, but if it's an air miss and you can make a case for it, like, he sold it really well. It's, you know, we've had some great stories, some great entries. There's a few entries this week that we will give out free bets to, but again, if you're unlucky with an ACCA this weekend, Paddy Power, if you place it with us and follow up with us, we also have the ACCA insurance. So any bet that has 4 legs or more, if one leg lets you down, you'll get your money back up to a max of 10 quid on any given day. So yeah, do your football ACCAs with Paddy Power, and like I say, it's a bit of crack, lads. That's all we want.
That is the Paddy Power Half Hour this week. My thanks to Jason and Enda. We'll see you next Friday at 1:30 with plenty more football to talk about. Take care.
The Paddy Power Half Hour on OTB Sports. Minimal contact in stadiums. That shouldn't stop the usual suspects from going down. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
A new year is full of surprises, but one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services. So when postage goes up, your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com is like your own personal post office, wherever you are. You can even take care of orders on the go with the mobile app. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Schedule package pickups, automatically find the cheapest and fastest shipping options, and seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. There's even a supply store where you can stock up on mailing supplies, labels, even printers. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. All you need is a computer or phone and printer. Take a chunk out of your mailing and shipping costs this year with Stamps.com. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM. for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com code PROGRAM.